Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And, well, you know, Trump is going to, President Trump is saying that a lot of these pardons that were given were, in fact, the vast majority of them were not legitimate. They weren't signed by Joe Biden. They were signed with one of those automatic pens.
Oh, yeah.
And so Fauci, who had to pay a lot, I mean, he had to pay, you know, the Bidens don't do anything for nothing.
Right.
So it had to cost Fauci big time to get his pardon. This guy, he should be tried for genocide, really, of what he's done. So let's go and see what the Epic Times has to say about all that.
News suddenly broke that Joe Biden had issued multiple pardons. The pardons, they were all signed on the previous day, but they were made public on January 20th, and they included some very high-profile names, such as Dr. Anthony Fauci, General Mark Milley, members of the January 6th Select Committee. You had members of Joe Biden's immediate family, among several other people. And even at the time, these pardons were, you could say, unique, given the fact that they were preemptive pardons. They were giving the recipients broad immunity for a long period of time, dating back roughly 10 years. Meaning, as just one example of many, the federal government would no longer be able to try or prosecute Dr. Anthony Fauci for anything that he did in relation to his work at the NIH from 2014 up until the present day, up until January of 2025. This was, again, a very unique type of pardon. It was preemptive. It offered very broad immunity for a long, long period of time. However, it turns out that there might be another reason that all these different pardons could be considered unique. You see, just earlier this month, specifically on March 6th, the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project, they released an unexpected finding. After analyzing the signatures on the actual pardon documents, they came to the conclusion that they were all nearly identical, which can only be the case if they were signed using an auto pen. Now, in case you've never seen one before, an auto pen is a pretty cool tool. People in advertising and marketing, they oftentimes use it to handwrite personalized letters at scale and then mail them to prospects or to clients. You basically just write something down, you upload it into the system, and then a robotic pen will perfectly copy your handwriting, even including the pressure on the paper. It's as if you're actually writing things over and over again. And of course, besides writing full letters, it can also be used to copy someone's signature, which would explain why the signatures on Biden's pardons line up perfectly with one another, something that wouldn't happen if they were really done by hand. Then, atop that discovery, the Oversight Project found something else: the fact that some earlier pardons were also signed with the auto pen. And those earlier pardons, they had another interesting twist. Above the signature, there was a small note saying that the documents, they were signed in Washington, D.C. on December 30th of 2022. However, on that exact date, Joe Biden was actually pictured in the U.S. Virgin Islands playing golf, meaning that there was no way he could have been in Washington, D.C. on that date signing those documents. Now, in terms of anything actionable, these discoveries by the Heritage Foundation, they were first picked up by the Attorney General of Missouri, Mr. Andrew Bailey. He wrote this letter here that you can see up on your screen. It was addressed to the Inspector General of the Justice Department, and it was an official request for an immediate investigation into the legality of using an auto pen in this manner. His stated concern was that the auto pen was being used not by Joe Biden, but rather by someone in Joe Biden's orbit without him being fully cognizant of it. He ended his letter with a call to investigation. Again, and this was a letter that was being sent to the Inspector General. Quote, "I thus ask you to launch an investigation or refer my request to another investigation body to determine which of Biden's purported orders were knowingly issued by a competent president and which were not. I call on you to investigate whether it was Biden or others who took executive actions. If it was not Biden, then the people should know that whatever actions he took were void. Now, thus far, the Inspector General of the Justice Department has not responded to this call to investigate. However, President Trump himself has. At first, on March 13th, during a press conference that was held in the Oval Office, President Trump was asked by a reporter about something relating to NATO, but he responded in the following manner.
All you have to do is look and take a look at he signs by AutoPen. Who is signing all this stuff by AutoPen? Who would think you signed important documents by AutoPen? You know, these are major documents you're signing. You're proud to sign them. You have your signature on something. In 300 years, they say, oh, look, can you imagine? Everything was signed by AutoPen, almost everything. Nobody's ever heard of such a thing. So should have never happened.
All right, there you go. Boy, but hey.
Wow.
It's so, I mean, the law is the law, right? And so if that that means that everything, all these pardons that Biden signed and all of this other stuff by AutoPen is null and void, right?
It should be. You know, how far they're going to be able to take this and find out who was doing the signing.
That means all of Biden's family, all of his family was AutoPen, the J6 committee, all of those treasonous people on the J6 committee, all that was AutoPen, okay? But what about Fauci? And, oh, by the way, also that includes...
Hillary?
Pardon?
Probably Hillary, or did she get a pardon?
You know... Bill Clinton was out
on The View. I
believe he was on The View, yeah, and he said Hillary should get a pardon. But he says not that she did anything wrong, but she should get a pardon. And so,
pardon from what?
Yeah, no.
Was she burp or something?
Well, in other words, to get that pardon, they literally have to go before a judge and plead guilty to the charge, and then the judge can pardon them, okay? And so this is very... Now, remember what Hillary said back during the election. She said if Bill Clinton, or if Donald Trump was reelected, and she was speaking to a group of Democrats, we are all going to hang, okay? And so she knows that, you know, how... I mean, we all know Hillary is guilty of so many crimes, so... But here, what about Mariakas? Mariakas, how many, you know, this guy, he was the head man and bringing in all those children, smuggling children. He went, you know, he was a big, big part of this, okay?
Yeah.
What about all these NGOs, okay? But so then you had, General Milley. Remember what Milley said? Milley said, I know if Trump gets in, he's going to court-martial me.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He committed treason.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that means that his pardon would be null and void. So let's see how the Justice Department, if they're going to stick with the law and handle that. If not, then we know somebody got paid, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have the rest of that clip. Let's go back to the rest of that clip.
What are the numbers first?
Pardon?
What are the numbers?
Oh, yes. The phone numbers. 866-525-0955. 216-901-0933. Or 888-281-1110. Folks, we only have 50 minutes left tonight. We've got to hear from you. Can we get someone to match Joanne's 1,000? And we can get someone to match my 1,000. And Randall, you're 500. Can we get someone to match any one of those? Or can we get someone to match all three of those? Right?
Indeed.
You know, thinking there positive, right?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, take us back.
Then, 3 days later, while he was aboard Air Force One, a different reporter asked President Trump about the legitimacy of Biden's pardons. Here's the full exchange.
But that Biden and his people and his probably AutoPen It looked like we had an auto pen for a president, and we would have been better off than we had probably. But it looks to me like, you know, that's a big subject. I'm sure you won't ask about that, but the whole subject of auto pen, did he know what he was doing? Did he authorize it? Or is this somebody in an office, maybe a radical left lunatic, just signing whatever that person wants? That's not what it's all about. I never use it. I mean, we may use it as an example to send some young person a letter because it's nice, you know, how cool we get thousands and thousands of letters of support for young people, for people that aren't feeling well, etc. But to sign pardons and all of the things that he signed with an auto pen is disgraceful.
So I devote about the Biden auto pen. Are those executive orders lost currents from President now null and void?
Well, I think so. It's not my decision. That'll be up to a court. But I would say that they're null and void because I'm sure Biden didn't have any idea that it was taking place.
And then, just one day after making those comments aboard Air Force One, President Trump released a full statement over on Truth Social, you can see it up on your screen, saying that since the pardons were done with an auto pen, they are, at least in his eyes, considered void. Quote, "The pardons are hereby declared void, vacant, and of no further force or effect because of the fact that they were done by auto pen." His team have issued any public statements regarding either the pardons or this whole auto pen situation. And then secondly, no lawsuits appear to have yet been filed against Trump's declaration of those pardons being void, at least as of yet. Realistically, though, despite all these different developments, the pardons in question will likely not be overturned. That's because the U.S. Constitution gives very broad pardoning powers to the U.S. president. The U.S. Constitution, it specifically states that a president, quote, shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States. And the courts have said that presidents can use their pardon power even without putting it in writing. For instance, last year in 2024, you had a case related to clemency make it up to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. And in the decision of the court, they wrote the following, quote, "Absent a constitutional constraint, the president's ability to commute a sentence is not subject to any further formal limits or requirements. This principle resolves the matter of whether a writing is required as part of the president's exercise of the clemency power. The answer is undoubtedly no. The plain language of the Constitution imposes no such limit, broadly providing that the president shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. The constitutional text is thus silent as to any particular form the president's clemency act must take to be effective." Meaning, in practical terms, that even the act of signing something with auto pen or with their hand is not required. The court then goes even further, quote, "Hypothetically, the president could proclaim at a press conference in the Rose Garden that he has pardoned a particular individual, and that would be a valid act." Meaning, in practical terms, that if Joe Biden wished to pardon several people, and then he passed along his request to several aides who then auto penned his signature and some official documents, it wouldn't really matter because that part is just a formality. The actual pardoning power always lied with him. Now, of course, the second argument that was being made by both Trump as well as the Attorney General of Missouri is that Joe Biden wasn't even aware of these pardons and that it was actually whichever staffer was controlling the auto pen that was the one doing it. But realistically, good luck proving that point. The constitutional authority of presidential pardons is so broad that aside from Joe Biden coming out himself and saying that that was the case, there's probably very, very little chance of those pardons truly becoming null and void. But I'd love to know your thoughts. Do you think that this...
All right, you know, I know one of the things that he can pardon them from federal laws, but he can't pardon them from state laws where they've done broken state laws. So, and Fauci, now think about all that. You know, what Fauci has done, I mean, it's you know, out there in the state law, the state areas, at least if they could get Fauci. I mean, look at how many people have died because of him.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And now, as far as I know, Hillary's not on that list. Her name doesn't appear on that list of getting a pardon.
Mm-hmm.
So
presidential pardons are only for federal crimes?
Yeah.
I see.
So here, he can, well, that's why he pardoned all these guys that were in federal courts and in prison and on death row and that. He pardoned a lot of people, okay?
Yeah.
What was it? My chain of thought. It was here, like I said, Hillary, as far as we've seen the list out there, and her name wasn't on that.
Okay.
And so, but wait. Guess whose other name was not on any of that, who committed a lot of crimes, and that's Joe Biden. He never pardoned himself.
Yeah.
Now, think about that. Think about, because going back now with what he did as vice president, you know, I mean, and you've got him on tape. You've got him saying, look, I told, you know, that prosecutor there in Ukraine, you fired that prosecutor, or you're not going to get $1 billion. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, what is that called? you know.
Bribery.
Bribery.
Extortion.
Yeah.
Kickbacks, yeah. You name
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
okay.
You could go on and on.
I mean, he was bragging about that, okay?
Yeah.
And I remember him, he didn't realize that the camera was hot. He was talking to this other guy, and he says, you don't mess with us Bidens, okay? We have ways of getting even with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to do business, it costs you, you know.
Yeah, so, that reminds me of that Chucky Schumer statement. Let me tell you, when you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday to getting back at you. And, hey, I tell you what, the Republicans need to step it up, because they really need to get around these pardons and get these people that have committed these atrocities.
Well, Chucky's been falling on some hard times because they're telling him it's time for you to go now. Mm-hmm. CBS anchor tells Chucky Schumer point blank, it's his party, no longer trusts him. Nancy Pelosi has come out. Remember, to us, betrayal, okay, is repulsive. Within the collective, the policy is, if you can bring somebody down, someone with a lot of importance, with a lot of standing, if you can betray them and bring them down, that adds to your standing within the collective, okay, mm-hmm. as a Democrat.
Well, they certainly don't have any trouble eating their own, and that would explain it.
Yeah. Well, we've seen example after example of that. We saw that with Hillary and Gaddafi.
Yes.
You know, I mean, she got rid of him. She got, you know.
All friendly at one time, and then.
Well, she was laughing as they was beating him to death like a dog in the street. She was watching, and she was laughing. And he's begging for mercy. That's a cruel
yeah.
person that would do that. A cruel person that would do that. And here, and I mean, she was on, you know, she was being filmed doing it. Oh, boy, look at that. You've got a match. Beverly in New Jersey matches you for $500.
All right, Beverly.
There you go. All righty. So here, now Nancy Pelosi is turned against Chucky Schumer. CBS Morning News host confronted Democrat Senate Majority Leader Chucky Schumer Tuesday on his own party's lack of trust and faith in his leadership. Schumer enraged many of his fellow Democrats by supporting the GOP government funding bill to avoid a shutdown, prompting many to question his future leadership in the party. CBS News host Gail King and Tony Dokopil, well, that's the name, Dokopil, pressed the Senate leader on his own party's own opposition on whether or not he should step aside. Let me explain why a shutdown is terrible. You know, this is one time when Chucky told the truth. Chucky actually told the truth, okay?
Wow. By mistake, apparently.
Yeah. Why is... Schumer said, people ought to know that the executive branch, in this case, Musk and Doge, who have no concern for working people, would have the sole power to determine what opens and what closes. They determine what is essential. You can't go to court, so on day two, get rid of SNAP and food-hungry kids. Well, they wouldn't do that. They would never cut the food from the kids. It's not essential. Day four, get rid of mass transit aid. Let New York, well, wouldn't be a bad idea to get rid of, not the state, but the city of New York. Let New York City do it. Not essential. Cut back on Medicaid and health care. Well, he's not telling the truth about that. They wouldn't do that. Within 2 weeks, everyone would have been howling. Furthermore, see, all those institutions, they stay in, okay? It's even worse. It has no off-ramp. Guess who determines when we leave and when we leave the shutdowns? The Republicans. Well, Nancy Pelosi wanted the country she wants to see the country fall apart, okay? She's a very wicked old woman. And anyhow, but they're telling Chucky, it's time for you to go. They've got some hardcore, real radical, hardcore communists there. You know who they want to run against him? AOC. AOC. They want to run her against Chucky.
Progressive.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that woman's a dingbat.
That was the exact word. Exact word that was on my lips, Pastor. Yeah. I just didn't know if I could say it.
Yeah, she is. I mean, anyhow, 866-525-0955 or 216-901-0933 or 888-281-1110. We really need to hear from you. Here, one of the things, Senators Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, I talked a little bit about this the other day, have blown the lid off yet another sham investigation orchestrated by Biden's corrupt Department of Justice and the politically compromised FBI. According to newly uncovered documents, the agency weaponized their power to target President Donald Trump and former Vice President Mike Pence and all of their allies through an illegitimate probe dubbed Arctic Frost. Armed with whistleblower disclosures and damning internal documents, the senators are sounding the alarm over Operation Arctic Frost, a taxpayer-funded witch hunt that seized government-issued cell phones. By the way, they say a whole lot of the Russia, the impeachment of Donald Trump was funded by USAID. You know, U.S. what Trump closed down? USAID, yeah. Money was going into, taxpayers' money was going into impeaching Donald Trump, okay?
Wow.
And so here he goes on to say, the Operation Arctic Frost, a taxpayer-funded witch hunt that seized government-issued cell phones belonging to former President Donald Trump and former Vice President Mike Pence while conducting a squeaking barrage of interviews across the country. The FBI did not require a warrant to take possession of government phones from the Biden White House. However, after securing the devices, agents begin preparing a search warrant to access their data, and sources familiar with investigations told Fox News. And the Biden White House played right along with the FBI's gotcha scheme against Trump, the sources told Fox News. Biden's office of the White House counsel, under the leadership of Dana Remus and Jonathan Sue, gave its blessing and accommodation for the FBI to physically obtain Trump and Pence's phones early in May of 2022. Weeks later, the FBI began drafting a search warrant to exact the phone data. So here now, we got a new FBI there, but still within the FBI. Just a couple of weeks ago, they were still shredding, you know, documents there, and so they're looking to see. In fact, that was one of the major things that Cash Patel is looking to make sure that all of those parts of the FBI that were set up to go after school boards, go after homeschoolers, to go inside and, you know, churches.
Yeah.
that they've all been dismantled.
Oh, good.
So that's one of the major things that they want to do right now.
Well, the mess that the government has been in, and it's not just during the Biden administration, but during the Obama administration and even before that, they're trying to clean all this up and to think that they're going to be able to do it in the first couple months. I mean, people are saying, oh, well, what is he really doing? And that, well, he walked into such a mess that he's doing a great job as far as cleaning it up. It's just going to take a while.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to put it, use everything that they can, especially rhinos, to try to turn them against Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so right now Trump's popularity is at an all-time high. But they're going to use everything. They're going to say he's cutting Social Security. You hear ads running on this radio station that Trump wants to do away with Social Security. And they've already cut so many people out of the Social Security agency.
Yeah, probably all the 180-year-olds they cut out of Social Security.
Some of them were even older than that. Some of them were over 300 years old.
Yeah, they might have cut them out.
Well, here's
what a terrible thing.
Well, they're talking about hiring all. I mean, do you realize how much there were literally billions and billions of dollars? In fact, we had it. If you could take all of the money that they used, that they wasted, you could give each and every person in the whole United States, you could give them back. You know, Trump was talking about giving them $500 or whatever. You could give them back over $1 million. In fact, probably, if you added it all up, and I think the more they find, the more they dig, the more they're going to find.
Yeah.
But here's an example. See, there's a list of the people.
Yeah, and so if you take half that list, this is the list that you got in the newsletter, folks, so you probably saw it. But if you took half that list and looked at how much money that is, and all of those, half that list are people that have to be long gone, long dead, and even up probably three-quarters of the list are people that are long gone.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So where are those checks going? They have to be mailed someplace, and somebody has to cash them, or they have to go into some account. I mean, the records to trace that cannot be that difficult. It's just simple.
Well, you see, that's why the Democrats are so paranoid right now. When all of this stuff comes out, for example, you had, and I don't know if I still had it, you had these Congress people that came into Congress worth under $1 million, and
that's on the back of
here. Yeah, no, the other one I wanted to show you was the little Muslim woman from Minnesota, the little Muslim congresswoman. She's worth over $18 million all of a sudden. She went from Zippo to over $18 million.
Yeah.
And in fact, who's paying for all of this? Mm-hmm. Well, how could it possibly be that a lot of that money coming from USAID, you know, is going to that?
Mm-hmm.
And and so this is the stuff that they don't want coming out. They don't want all of this stuff coming out.
Exactly. We also have to pray that they're really getting to the real sets of books, because there are a lot of corporations and businesses that have two sets of books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that one book is what everybody else looks at. But the other one, that's where the real numbers are. So we really need to pray that really gets exposed.
You would be surprised how many cities in this country have two sets of books. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cooking books is a common practice today.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll find it being done a lot in the prison systems because they get federal money. Yeah. Richard, you know all about that. Yeah.
I know all about that.
Yeah.
And so, all righty. Folks, listen, we got to hear from you. This is the perfect time to call right now. 866-525-0955. 216-901-0933. 888-281-1110. We work very hard. I mean, we work very, very hard. And Pledge Week's a tough week to keep bringing you 6 days a week the information that they don't want you to have. This is one of the things. Remember, it wasn't, it used to be for a long, long time. We were the only one out there. We were the only pro-life, daily pro-life voice that I knew of in the whole country for a while. And again, in all of these years, now think about this. We've never backed down. Not one time. We've stood our ground, and we've had to take a lot of attacks. We were under attack by the opposition for half a century. Mm-hmm. We've been under attack. But we never backed down. We stood our ground. When we stood up to corrupt politicians, to corrupt judges, to corrupt police officers, we've stood up. Mm-hmm. We never backed down. And we stood up for you, too. And so we need to hear from you in times like this, because I'm getting old. I don't know how much longer I can do this, folks. We need to hear from you. 866-525-0955, 216-901-0933, or credit card line 888-281-1110. Now is the perfect time to call, right during this break.
Feel so fine, this new age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the new age church is for. Truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared. So I go to heaven, or as I fear, below. I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He has risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care.
We're back, and you won't believe this. New York State did something they did a good thing, right? It says New York City law allowing non-citizens to vote was struck down. Now, isn't that nice for them to do that for those people in the New York City Council and that, to make a decision for the people there, that the non-voting citizens that have taken their jobs, that are going in, a lot of the people that that were there, the veterans and that, you know, lost a lot of what they had, you know, because of these. They were taken over, a lot of your people in public housing and that, they were displaced by these illegal aliens given special treatment.
Right.
New York State's top court on Thursday struck down, that's today, okay, struck down a New York City law that would have permitted more than 800,000 legal non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. In a 6-1 decision, well, you don't find too many times where there's a 6-1 decision, the Court of Appeals ruled that the law passed by the City Council violates the state constitution. Americans have fought over the meaning of citizenship and right to vote since the earliest days of our republic. Chief Justice Rowan Wilson wrote for the majority, whatever the future may bring, the New York City Constitution, or the New York Constitution as it stands today, draws a firm line restricting voting to citizens. Can you believe it? They did it. They did a good thing, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, there'd be a way to get these, even these Democrats, to get rid of some of these illegal aliens. You know, you could just put a bounty on the heads. Any illegal alien, if you turn them in, you'll get so much money from the government. They would be charging down there with a handful of illegal aliens to make some bucks.
That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, they would.
Put a bounty on their heads.
Yeah. Well, there are those that are considered, AOC is actually being investigated right now because she was holding these workshops and instructing these illegal aliens how to avoid being caught.
Mm-hmm.
That's called aiding and abetting the enemy, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And so especially those that Trump has declared as terrorists, those gang members.
Yeah.
And so she's under investigation for that.
Good.
All righty. We have Pastor Hal. Bring Pastor Hal up.
Yeah, I'm right here. I was going to say, if Pastor Richard and Elder Bartley want to go first, I'll follow them this time.
Well, you know what? We actually have, there's nothing more important than the Word of God. So listen, I'll let you guys all start and give in your parts. And then in between, I'll give the phone numbers out because we still have 20 minutes, which we really need to use it. But there's nothing, no information that we've given out here tonight or ever again that means as much as the Word of God, right?
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, Richard, if you want to start.
Yeah, I'd be glad to, but I just wanted to mention, too, is for the listeners that are calling into the donation lines, you know, these large donations are absolutely wonderful, but don't feel funny about not giving a small amount. If we got all the listeners to give a very small amount, we'd have the big amounts that the, Pastor Sanders needs to keep going. So don't feel awkward or like, well, I can only give so much. That's fine. Whatever you can give is what is helpful for the radio station. So don't be timid about that or thinking that you don't have a lot of money to give, so you're not going to call in.
By the same token, don't feel awkward about giving up a large amount.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. But let's say everybody listening right now would call, give a small amount. Can you imagine what it really would amount to?
Yeah. Yeah.
All righty. Well, Danielle in Boston, is that right? Is that Danielle?
Yeah.
In Boston, pledges $50. Thank you. And Rob, is that RB? Well, RB in New Jersey pledges 500. Thank you, thank you.
All right. He's got my initials.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's right, he does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Randall Barkley, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let me just talk about salvation real briefly because we're going to pass it around. But, you know, the difference between mankind and other living things, God has made all these living things, but mankind is special because the soul and spirit of mankind will live forever. And that makes them special than all the other creatures that God has made on the earth, because God has a purpose for them to come to heaven. But when we choose not to listen to God and to reject the gospel call, we're choosing to go the other way, and we're choosing to go to hell rather than heaven. So it's a choice. It's an individual's choice to go either to heaven or hell. And so that when we talk about that, the question is, well, then what do you have to do? That's simply believing in Jesus Christ, knowing who Jesus Christ is, that he is truly the Son of God, and that you're willing to repent, and that repentance just means turn your back on your old life, your old sinful life, and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But we have to know that we're going to live forever. Our soul and spirit is. Yes, these bodies will fall down and rot in the ground, but our soul and spirit, us, those, that person that's looking through those windows of your eyeballs is going to live forever. So where do you choose to live forever?
Amen. You know, one of the things that stands out, actually two things that stand out to me, is at the top of the hour when we were going into the Word, we were talking about the different doctrines that are really leading people astray. And I believe that one of the hardest things in this world of confusion is to really acknowledge the truth. And the scripture says it like this. It says, the servant of God in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure or perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so not only are you in this snare, we've many of us have seen foxes caught in snares or coyotes caught in snares, and basically they're going to be there until their life is expired. And so this is a two-part thing, not only in a snare, but you really don't know the truth. And it reminds me of like what Pilate, when he had Jesus in front of him, he was asking him, he's like, what is truth? And of course, we know that Jesus said, not in there, but he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And I believe that we can take for granted knowing the truth, and there is really in this what God is saying, there's a mercy that God has to actually give for people to acknowledge the truth. You can't come to him. In fact, Jesus said, I thank you, O God, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent. So if you come again with letters behind your name and you think that, you know, you just come with all this attained knowledge of the world and you think that that's what is going to get you in. No, you can still be blinded. You could still not know the truth. So understanding and knowing what the truth is very important. And the last thing it says, for the time has come, in 1 Peter, for the time has come that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? And so that means that word scarcely talks about with difficulty or which with much work. So again, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I could tell you that that's going to be, if you don't repent, that's going to be at that great white throne judgment where there is no mercy. You want your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Go ahead, Pastor Howell.
Let me ask you a question, though, before we get to hell. You know, often people will say, well, you know, will you explain to me how these people that never heard the gospel, how can they get saved? I mean, if they never heard the gospel, how could they have heard the gospel of their salvation? What about these people that live in Chinese communist countries like China or North Korea, where they can? The gospel is very rare. What about people that have grown up out in the jungles and have never heard a preacher? How then can they be saved? This isn't. It's not fair. God's not fair. What do you say about that?
I believe the scripture talks about that God is already putting their hearts to know of his goodwill and pleasure. God is no dummy, you know. And every morning that we wake up, the skies declare his glory. The earth declares his glory.
Yeah, it says that nature itself mm-hmm. declares his glory.
Yeah.
So, and also all these generations that you say may not have ever heard the gospel, it tells us in the scriptures that the gospel was preached throughout the whole world. So this is against their generations for not passing it on.
So the question really is whether or not is God a totally and a perfectly just God? If he's a perfectly and totally just God, then he would. Then everybody would have the opportunity to receive him or reject him. Mm-hmm. So the question comes out. So the Bible answers that itself. You know, God is a holy God. God is just. And so he speaks to the hearts of men. Does God have any limitations on capabilities as far as reaching people with his truth?
None whatsoever.
None.
So every single person is given an opportunity to say yes or no.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, but what about the children under the age of discernment that wouldn't understand yes or no? I mean, we've seen in Scripture where God has given the orders to wipe out a complete population of people, even man, woman, and child involved in that. And so all of those children, we get questions asked all the time about what about all these babies that are murdered by Democrats?
They go to heaven. There's no question about it. And David spoke of that with the child that was taken from him.
Yeah.
I know we talk about the age of accountability as well. But God is Alpha and Omega. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows every creature, as he told.
What was the question he asked Jonah? He asked Jonah, should I destroy those that don't know their right from their left, Jonah? Okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, those that are not at the age of discernment. Yeah. Huh?
That's right. That's right.
And,
that's good.
And you know, we talk, when you say that age of discernment, you're talking normally about a young person. Mm-hmm. But there are some adults that have never reached an age of discernment because of mental handicap or something.
Oh, wait. No, we call them Democrats.
Well, no, I'm talking about ones that are going to go to heaven. I'm not talking about these workers of Satan.
All righty, very good. Take it away, Pastor Hal.
Okay, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, it says, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? It's the word of God that converts the soul. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't get saved without the word of God. And that's why the devil tries to get everybody that's listening to us tonight to turn your back on the word of God and think that you becoming a church member or doing good works or something like that is going to make you a Christian. It won't. The only thing that can wash away our sins, the Word of God tells us, is the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. But salvation is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to be walking around heaven and patting himself on the back and saying, I got here because I was a good Baptist or Catholic or anything like that. They're going to be giving Jesus Christ all the praise for getting them there if they got saved by asking Jesus to come into their heart and save them. Luke 13:3 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway. Without Jesus Christ in our hearts, we're lost and on our road to hell. And John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Right now, without Jesus in your heart, you're a creation of God, but you're not a son of God. And to go to heaven, you have to become a son of God. And that happens when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid in your place on that cross in full. It was a free gift. He did all the work. Whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. If you want Jesus to come into your heart, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart right now. He knows everything you've ever done in your life. He knows every sin you've ever done. There's no sin he can't wash away, but it's a free gift. You have to ask him to come into your heart, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner. If you want to do that, pray this prayer with me and ask him to come into your heart. He's ready to do it, but he's leaving it up to you. Dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul from hell. Believing you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you prayed a prayer like that just now and you meant it, the Apostle John says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Believe on meant that you received Jesus as your Savior, not just knew about what he did, but you received him. Why? That you may know, not just think it, wish it, or hope for it, but just you may know. That's 100% certain. Why? Because God promised you. That's how you can know, and God cannot lie. So according to God's promise and your prayer, if you prayed that prayer or one like that and you meant it just a few moments ago, you got God's promise that you have eternal life, because that's when God's Holy Spirit comes into your soul and gives you that spiritual birth into the kingdom of God. And nothing, nobody can take that away from you. And that's why, you know, get a King James Bible, start reading it, grow in the Word of God, and tell others how to get to heaven. Because soul winning is nothing more than one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And Jesus is that bread. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, very good. I want to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord pledges $1,000, okay? And so, boy, we certainly could use that. But thank you very much. And again, folks, we will be here till about another 7 minutes. You can call in, and we really, really appreciate it. We appreciate all you folks that have helped us, because we're all in this together as we look for the Lord's return. And that's right. You know, that's the question. Those people that professing Christians that don't believe there's going to be a rapture. Scripture says the Lord's coming back for those that look for his return.
His return, yeah.
All righty. They may have to stay here during the tribulation, huh? All righty. Until then, it's time for us to say thank you for being here. Good night. God bless. And always, you ready? Do it. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
O'Reilly! Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Oh, oh.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.